Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop Blinds.com right now and get up to 45% off select styles and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 45% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
This is Issues 2025. I'm Steve McIntosh, and our guest is Sedgwick County Commissioner David Dennis. Welcome.
Well, thank you, Steve. I appreciate you inviting me today.
2025. And now, you represent the 3rd District. Geographically, what does that mean? What is the area?
The 3rd District is almost the entire western half of the county. It actually comprises acreage, half of the county. So it's a very large area, but we're equal in population. We're not equal in area. So in order to get the population, I have a lot of area.
Does that include smaller cities?
That includes a whole lot of smaller cities. Yeah. And I have Viola, Cheney, Colwich, Mount Hope, Goddard, Mays, you name it, everything out west.
Well, that brings up a quick question. How do you get out and go to all those places and talk to the people out there?
Absolutely. I talk to the mayors and the city managers quite frequently to try and make sure that we're supporting them. A lot of issues that we face are going to have a big impact on the cities. For example, some time back we were looking at solar projects, and the solar project that we were looking at could have killed both Goddard and Colwich. So we really stay tuned with all of our smaller cities, too.
Yeah, that's an interesting topic, because it sure makes a lot of sense to have solar power, but then when you start unpeeling the onion, there's a lot of layers to it, huh?
There is. It's going to be around for 25 to 50 years, and they were looking at putting it right in the growth area of 2 of our cities. So that would have stopped growth for those 2 cities for 25 to 50 years. So that's just one of the types of issues that we work very closely with our different cities and city managers and the mayors.
Now, you were first elected to the commission in 2016, is that correct?
That's correct.
What were your reasons for seeking that office?
I was looking at what was happening in our commission, and they were doing things like that. They wanted to pay cash for things like building a bridge that's going to last 50 to 75 years. Well, if you save up the amount of money that it would take to build that bridge, we wouldn't have it. It's a generational issue. So they were a very, very conservative commission. I am conservative, but not quite that conservative.
So you think... Thought you'd really put your part in there then. Where are you from, by the way, originally?
My wife and I grew up in Great Bend. We were high school sweethearts and been married 56 years now.
Really? Great Bend.
Great Bend.
My mom's hometown is not too far from there. It's a little spot called Roselle.
Oh, I know where Roselle is. Some friends of mine grew up there.
How about that? Now, you retired after 29 years in the Air Force. You retired as a colonel. What were you, if you can tell me, what were your duties in the Air Force?
Well, my duties changed a lot in 29 years. I started out enlisted in communications. I served overseas at Ramstein for a couple years, came back to 4th Mobile Comm Group in Aldous, Oklahoma. I was selected one of 100 airmen in the entire United States Air Force to go back and get a commission. I was commissioned in 1972. I then worked at Whiteman Air Force Base, Missouri, as a combat targeting team chief. We carried guns. We carried the launch code, enable code, target information for the Minuteman missiles. I moved up to quality control. From there, 4 years later, I moved out to Vandenberg Air Force Base, California. And I was in an organization that went around to all the missile bases and evaluated them to make sure that they were doing their job right. After 4 years, I cross-trained, went back to Whiteman, and now was a combat crew commander. And so I set on alert 60-foot underground to be able to launch the Minuteman missiles. I was commander, then standboard commander, then senior standboard commander. Moved up to Omaha, Nebraska, where I developed the tactics for our national nuclear war plan, and went to school at Air Command and Staff College, back to Offutt, where I developed a survivability capability for us to survive a nuclear war, and then replan our nation's nuclear war plan. Moved up to Malmstrom Air Force Base, Montana. I've started as chief of safety for the largest tanker wing and largest missile wing in the Air Force. Moved over to be commander of the 341st Field Missile Maintenance Squadron, then moved over to be the deputy logistics group commander after I made colonel. They moved me to Washington, D.C., to the Defense Threat Reduction Agency, and there I worked in Russia, Ukraine, Kazakhstan, and Belarus for 3 years, and we were dismantling the weapons of mass destruction over there. So that's a lot of things in 29 years.
I was going to say, that is a lot. Move around quite a bit.
We moved 14 times in 29 years. So
were you able to raise a family, to have a family?
I have two sons. My wife gave me two beautiful sons, and today I have five grandchildren and two great-grandchildren.
All right. Yeah. Now, how did your service in the military? Oh, I wanted to ask you about those silos, if I can. And growing up here in Wichita, we were pretty much aware that they were out there. But exactly, can you tell me how many there were around South Central Kansas in the Wichita area?
Well, around Wichita, there were 18 Titan missiles. They were the largest missiles we had in the inventory. But throughout the United States, there were three bases with Titans. So there were 54 Titan missiles. But we had 1,000 Minuteman missiles, and I worked mainly with Minuteman missiles.
Minuteman, a little smaller than the Titan.
They were smaller, and they were solid-fueled, where the Titans are liquid-fueled. Titans are a huge missile.
Did you have any trouble going to sleep at night with all that responsibility?
Probably the most stressful job I ever had was when I was a combat crew commander, because we sat in the hole. I was able to launch up to 50 missiles, but when I was at the alternate command post, I was in command of up to 150.
Whew. All right. Now, how did that service in the military prepare you for your civilian career? Because after that, you went into teachers. Tell us about that.
Certainly. After I retired, let's go back in time.
Okay.
When I graduated from college, I had a degree in business and a minor in education, and it was my intent to teach school. Uncle Sam, at that point, it was 1968, invited me to participate in the Vietnam War. And so I enlisted in the Air Force with no intention of making it a career. So now fast forward.
Wait.
Go ahead.
Then what changed your mind once you got in there? You just loved it or what?
Well, I made staff sergeant in 3 years, which was really fast for enlisted. And honestly, as a staff sergeant in the Air Force, I was making more than I could make as a teacher if I got out. Right. But then they offered me a commission, and it turned out to be a career from that point forward.
Okay.
So I had a teaching certificate when I graduated from college.
Well, I interrupted you. Now we're at the military career. What happens next then?
As I stayed in the military, Kansas State Department of Education, they kept my teaching certificate on file. I was surprised when I got out and I got to checking with them. I said, is there any chance of getting it back? And they said, oh, yes. You've got to go back to college, and you've got to get 6 more hours of credit, which isn't that many. A portion of them have to be in special ed. And so I went to WSU and finished up the requirements to get a teacher, and they gave me back a teaching certificate. And I applied, and I was very happy that I got a job at North High School because I wanted to work with the most needy kids that we had. So I started out at North High School, and right away I became the voice of the North High Redskins at that time and announced football, basketball, wrestling, and swimming. And I still do today. As a matter of fact, I got a game tonight. I announced for Northwest High School currently, and I've got a game with Capen against Northwest this evening.
Should be a good one. Now, teaching then after that, what did you do?
Well, I was on the State Board of Education. Yeah, I was watching as teacher. Yeah. Then I was watching the State Board of Education, and Kansas couldn't make up their decision on how that they wanted to teach science. I'm for teaching science in science classes and religion in religion classes, but I'm not for teaching religion in science classes. So I ran for the State Board of Education and got elected to that. And since the time I was elected, we haven't had that debate again, so I was very happy with that. But after 4 years and things kind of settled down, I thought it would be a good time to retire. But I had some good friends of mine call me up and say, you know, you really should need to run for the county commission. And that kind of set the last 8 years in place.
You've also been active in the Boy Scouts. Share with me, if you will, your thoughts on scouting, where it is today and where it's going to be in the future, you think.
Sure. Well, really, the reason I got involved in scouting is we moved, as you heard, every couple years.
Yeah.
And I had two sons growing up. And it's difficult for a young child to move from city to city and school to school every few years. I needed something that was stable in their life so that as soon as we got to a new city, could make instant friends in scouting. And so both of them are Eagle Scouts as a result of that today. So I'm still a very strong supporter of scouting. I contribute to scouting. I've got one grandson that's an Eagle Scout now and another grandson on the way to being an Eagle Scout. So I think it is a great way of teaching our youth the values that we need in our community.
Mr. Dennis, Eagle Scout, I was in Boy Scouts for a nanosecond, and I know that that is a heck of an achievement. That's the top for Boy Scouts, is it not?
That is the top of the Boy Scouts. And then they can go on and get what they call palms and so forth.
Okay.
It's a fantastic program for helping our youth. And that's the reason I went to teach at North High School, is how can I help our youth? So I got involved in sports to announce, because that connects the students to the school. And if you connect the students to the school, you can keep them in that school. Same thing with JROTC. I'm still very active supporting JROTC. It connects them to that school. And we want them to graduate, and it's a great way of making sure that they care about coming back to their school every day.
What do you think about that new gym and swimming pool and all that over there at North after that bond issue? Pretty fancy.
It was pretty fancy. We didn't have that when I was announcing over there. That was built actually while I was still teaching. They were going through that bond issue, but that's a beautiful facility. But I've only had a chance to announce one time totally over there because then I kind of started trying to retire but then moved to Northwest.
You're listening to Issues 2025 on the Odyssey radio stations, and our guest is Sedgwick County Commissioner David Dennis. Let's talk some business here for a little bit. What are the biggest challenges facing Sedgwick County government as we begin this new year?
Certainly. The biggest concern that all of our taxpayers have is what the cost of property tax is today. And we've been trying to reduce property tax, and it really hasn't worked as well as I'd hoped. We have been able to reduce the mill levy in Sedgwick County the last 2 years in a row. And Sedgwick County, I'm proud to say, has the second lowest mill levy of any county in the entire state of Kansas out of 105 counties. So we've tried to do what we can, but the thing is, the county is a service organization. We have over 40 departments, and of those 40 departments, most of them are running 24/7, so we have to have staffing around the clock. So it doesn't matter what you do. If you pick up the phone and you dial 911, you're going to talk to Sedgwick County. If you need an ambulance, you're going to talk to Sedgwick County. If you need a fire, we have a fire district number one for the areas, the unincorporated areas, the sheriff with the jail, the district attorney. We support all of these different organizations. So we have about 3,000 people, and that's the most important, expensive portion of our budget is personnel. And so how do you cut that? Because one of the other reasons that I've been on the commission is we've had to give big pay raises because of some of the conservative decisions that were made earlier. And as a result of some of those cuts that were made, we were at half staff in the jail. The sheriff was even pulling shifts in the jail. We were only half staffed in ComCare, in 911, and EMS. We had to build those organizations back up, and we've had to do that because we have to pay them a competitive wage, and that raises what it costs us for government. Oh, I hate to say it, but I don't see that the cost of Sedgwick County can go down because people talk about let's cut the fat and let's cut the waste. Well, there's none left. I hate to tell you that, but there is no waste left. It's personnel, and if we don't have the personnel, we can't perform the services.
Something else that one of your colleagues points out whenever I talk to him, and that's Mr. Beatty, is the fact that this county government is basically, you're running a lot of state business. A lot of what you do comes from the state and mandated you have to do it, right?
Absolutely. What I'm very concerned with is that all of the cost that's transferred to the county based on what the state requires us to do. For example, the state requires us to operate the tag offices, but this year we're going to transfer tomorrow some of the about $600,000 or $700,000 from our general fund over to support the tag office. We shouldn't have to do that. Next year it's going to be over $1 million to support the tag office. There are about 18 functions that the state government requires us to perform but doesn't give us any reimbursement to perform those. In addition, there's a lot of things that they could have helped us with. There was a thing called Local Ad Valorem Tax Reduction Act and city-county revenue sharing. They cut those out. They don't give it to us. It was supposed to come back from some of the sales tax, but it doesn't come back. That's millions of dollars. They eliminated machinery and equipment, being able to tax that. That costs us millions of dollars. They eliminated mortgage registration fees. That cost us millions of dollars. So each one of those things that could have helped us with reducing property tax, they're transferring more and more over to our property tax because of the functions. So we're just about 8-10 years ago, about 59% of what it cost us to run the government was from other sources. Today, it's about 50%. So we're relying more and more on property tax every day, and a lot of that is because of the actions of the state.
You know, I'm thinking of I'm looking for a job, and what should a person know about the county's operations? If that person is thinking about employment with the county, what's good about working there, you think?
Well, we're hiring each and every day. We have given some nice pay raises so that we are now competitive with private businesses. We've got some very good benefits. A lot of our jobs, though, are 24/7, but we do pay some shift differential on top of that. So I'm more proud of our staff than anything. I try to say that all the time and during my discussion tomorrow when I'm going away at their last meeting. One of the groups that I am so proud of is our staff and how hard they work to take care of the citizens in Sedgwick County.
What's your thoughts on the idea of in your directing property tax revenue and sales revenue for specific purposes? You know what I'm talking about. Kind of hard for me to explain, but
Well, this past year, when we were putting together the 2025 budget, what we were looking at was what do we do about a number of things that we support that aren't core functions of the county. But these things that we support that aren't core functions are quality of life issues. So there's a debate going on how that we fund those quality of life issues. Should it just come from the sales tax? Because we do get a 1 cent sales tax for the county. And half of that goes over to roads and bridges. The other half is supposed to go to reduce our property tax. And we work very hard to make sure that we do that. But when we're looking at quality of life, we're also, you got to consider that we're constantly trying to find more people to come to Sedgwick County to work. We are short on staffing in a lot of areas. So how do we get the staffing if we don't have quality of life? Because they're going to want to bring their families here. And so you have to have things like the zoo, Exploration Place, the Sedgwick County Interest Bank Arena. We provide all of those as a quality of life function to make sure that we retain the people here. So whether we pay for that out of sales tax and say that that's all sales tax, and really we do have enough sales tax that we can say that, but one of the debates is should we put guardrails on so we can never use more than that. The problem with putting those guardrails on is that we don't know what the future is going to hold. I say it a lot. We don't know what we don't know. So what happens when there is a huge need someplace, like the Interest Bank Arena needs a new roof? That's a big expense. Do we do that and cut other things for our quality of life? Or how do we fund those? Sometimes we may have to use sales or property tax. So I don't want to put guardrails on a future commission. I've never wanted to handcuff a future commission. I want them to be able to make the hard decisions that I've had to make for the last 8 years.
That's interesting, because that's a conclusion that I've come through for the years. I've watched government and the things they do and say, yeah, but what if? And sometimes that doesn't seem like they're thinking, what if something really catastrophic happens? And it sounds like you think that way from your career, probably. Things can go bad in a hurry.
They can. take the Interest Bank Arena, for example. When I first took over as a commissioner, we still had a surplus from the 1 cent sales tax. We pretty well spent all that during the last 8 years. You know, there's a brand new scoreboard hanging up there. There's people shoot out the windows. I can't believe that we get bullet holes in the windows. We put the whole new north entrance on the Interest Bank Arena in order for people to come in off Nasker Park. So we pretty well spent that, but in the future there's going to be more expenses. If you look at the zoo, that's the number one tourist attraction in this entire state of Kansas. The economic impact of the zoo alone is over $60 million a year to this county. So we do invest money in the zoo, and we're going to have to invest some more because we got 5 baby elephants coming here this year. That's amazing. You talk about something as a tourist attraction, you bring 5 new baby elephants in, and we're going to have a ton of people looking at the zoo.
Absolutely. Now, we've seen tremendous growth, especially in the east and west Wichita in some areas in recent years. Is that growth going to continue to boom along like that, do you think?
I think so. If you take a look at the fastest growing city in the entire state of Kansas is Mays. The second fastest is Goddard. And it's going to continue doing that. If you go out and look at the number of developments that are going on out there, it's going to boom. So that brings up an important issue that I've been working for 8 years, and that's the Northwest Expressway that goes from K-96 down through Mays down to Goddard, connects into Kellogg. That's a needed road that's going to have to happen out there because the growth is happening in that area.
What are the biggest successes in your 8 years at the county? If you all have time for you to mention one or two, but
the biggest which?
Successes. The success, good things that you've seen.
The good things, first of all, I had an opportunity to go down to Phoenix with Dr. Muma. And between KU Medical Center and WSU, we're building a brand new biomed facility downtown, $300 million facility. That's fantastic. We're going to have 3,000 students downtown. When I first became a commissioner, the sheriff came to me and said, we've got an issue. First of all, he was short-staffed at that time. But as someone goes to jail and then goes to court, and the judge says, you need a mental competency hearing before you can stand trial, they put them back in jail, and they haven't been convicted of any crime, and they're sitting there for up to a year waiting for an open slot at Larned to put them in. Then we have to send 2 deputies out to drop them off, 2 deputies out to bring them back before they can ever stand trial, maybe a year later. He said, we need a regional mental health hospital here. I started working with the state legislature, and finally one day in a meeting with them, I said, if you will give us the money, we will build it. Well, we have the expertise. We've got the people that can build and contract for a new mental health facility. In February, we're going to break ground on 104-bed regional mental health hospital right here in Sedgwick County. So that's great. We bring in a lot of sporting events. You're going to see basketball coming back to the Interest Bank Arena. We've got skating events coming up to the Interest Bank Arena. These are some fantastic options. Look at Exploration Place and the new playscapes that's going on out there. There's a lot happening.
I have to interrupt you now. I just wanted to say I hope you enjoy your retirement, and I hope I'm speaking for most of the people in Sedgwick County. Thank you for not only your service to Sedgwick County, but your military service as well. And education. Sounds like you've had a well-rounded career, and I hope you enjoy your retirement. Thanks for spending some time with us this morning, okay?
Thanks, Steve. I appreciate being here.
Our guest is Sedgwick County Commissioner David Dennis, and that's all for this edition of Issues 2025.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing digital deals for members. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Dr. Pepper, and Polar Seltzer, selected varieties and sizes, buy two and get three free of equal or lesser value, plus CRV. Limit three free items. USDA Choice Bone-In Ribeye Steak, $7.97 per pound. Limit two packages. Creamy Hass Avocados, 77 cents each. Limit four items. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Nick's Menswear, your friend in style.
Marketers, are you ready to make an impact with audio advertising? People are hungry for authentic connections in a world buzzing all around us. How do you cut through the noise and truly reach your audience? Visit stateofaudio.com to see Odyssey's State of Audio, the Trends Report. Uncover the secrets to high-impact creative. Learn how AI is revolutionizing the industry. And get ahead of the curve on measurement and audience trends. Don't just stay in the game. Win it. Visit stateofaudio.com and download your free copy.
We'll be back next week. Thank you for listening. I'm Steve McIntosh.